There is nothing Comcast can seem to do to stop the flight of cable TV subscribers. Another 1.3 million left in 2020. Peacock, on the other hand, added 7 million registered users in the last 7 weeks. Will more sports keep the Peacock growth coming?
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News. And Colin Dixon from End Screen Media joins us. Hey, Colin, how's everything out there?
Everything is doing well. We are finally getting some rain at last, which is great. We have a nice winter storm blowing in. And I have to mention in passing our friend, the GOAT, Brady. He's in the Super Bowl again. Does he own that ticket these days?
Number 10, I think, for him, right? Incredible.
I think it is. So I'm really looking forward to this. It'd be fun to see the young buck playing the old goat. It'd be great to see that.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, let's go ahead and get started this week, Colin. We have a few topics we want to cover. Comcast reported its earnings this week, up in broadband, down in video, no surprise. And we have some numbers for Peacock that we wanted to talk about, and also some data that came in that we both took note of this week. So why don't you go ahead, get us started with Comcast.
I will, yeah. And, you know, overall, it was not bad, bearing in mind how bad things have been this year for Comcast. But I want to zoom in. I'm going to zoom in specifically on the video stuff, Will, because that's, I think, what's of most interest to us, as well as the broadband, and you'll look at the broadband. And it was, I think it's fair to say, it was a pretty bad year for Comcast. Losses accelerated a lot. In fact, they lost 6.4% of their residential subscribers in 2020. That's a decline of about 1.3 million subscribers. So that's really, that's about twice the percentage loss that they had last year. And I think that really shows that even Comcast now is feeling this acceleration in the decline of their traditional video business. And I should mention, they are not alone. DirecTV, part of AT&T reported today as well. And they lost 3 million subscribers, which is down 15%, Will. So this is by no means restricted to just Comcast. And one of the things they did manage to do was they managed to hold revenue pretty well in the quarter and for the year. But that was really due to price increases. And they actually ended up, I think, with revenue just down slightly, down about 0.7% for their video businesses. Now, by my calculation, their average revenue per unit actually had pretty good growth over the year. I calculated out at about $92, maybe $91.9. At the end of the fourth quarter, and it was 86.4 at the end of 2019. So that's a pretty good growth there. But, you know, it just wasn't enough to overcome this big loss that they've seen in subscribers. So how did that compare to broadband?
Well, and just hang on to stay on video for a second. To make it tangible, they lost almost 1.3 million video subscribers. That was about double the loss from 2019, and that brought them to about 19 million video subscribers. And amazingly, that's nearly 10 million fewer residential broadband subscribers than they now have, about 28.3 million.
Yeah, isn't that an amazing, amazing statistic? I remember when looking at that data and thinking to myself, well, when is Comcast going to have more data customers than they have video? And that happened way back in 2016, I think it was at the beginning of 2017, that those two flipped positions. And it really has never looked back, has it? I mean, it's just such a huge difference.
Yeah, I remember having the exact same thought. When are the lines going to cross? And it's now been a number of years, as you point out, that they did. And they continue to be separated even more each quarter, because as you point out, the 1.3 million loss in video subscribers in all of 20, that contrasts with 1.9 million plus broadband subscribers, residential broadband subscribers in 2020. That was actually up 47% versus the 1.3 million that they added in 2019. And there's no question that the pandemic had a big impact on driving broadband subscribers. And I think their executives mentioned on the earnings call also that they're seeing much reduced churn also. And that's no doubt as a result of the pandemic as well. So the year was up in broadband by about 47%. The quarter slowed down a little bit. Q4, they were up only about 21%. They added 515,000 broadband subscribers versus 424,000 in Q4 19. But, you know, again, broadband is a great service for Comcast because the margins are higher than with video. And also they're able to really kind of leverage the broadband product to get into other services and other areas of business. So certainly that's helped them with rolling out the Flex device, where they're able to position themselves as a competitor to Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, et cetera. I think they mentioned on the earnings call that they have all the top services now, or they're going to be adding, I think, Disney Plus in the relatively near future, then they'll have all the top services. It's been a great driver for Peacock, which we'll talk about in a minute. And also it's broadband, they have the security, the Wi-Fi, all the other services that go mobile, that go on top of the broadband service now. So it's really become a broadband company, right?
It certainly has. And I'm glad you mentioned Flex, because actually with Flex, there's even been rumors that they're in discussions with Walmart to release a release a smart TV. And that's powered by X1. And there's also talk about them opening up Flex so that, you know, everybody can get Flex, not just Comcast subscribers. So that would be a really interesting evolution for Comcast, that's for sure. And by the way, on the video, when video switched places with broadband, or rather the vice versa, that you have to go all the way back to 2015, Will. I just
5 years.
Scrolled yeah. back through my numbers, wow. And I can't believe it was back in 2015 that happened.
Wow. Yeah, I'll be intrigued, Colin, on your point about if they were to take Flex nationwide, then they would truly be a competitor to Roku and Fire TV and the rest. Now it's really in footprint. It's really a product that's meant to strategically support broadband and help drive the rollout of Peacock and reduce churn. But it's still, you know, within footprint and therefore, I think, relatively limited. I don't think they've released numbers on Flex, but I feel like recently at least, but I feel like I've heard like maybe a million Flex devices rolled out. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes, I think it may be something like that. I'm not sure exactly how it's doing. I've questioned the strategy a little bit on Flex, because when I looked at broadband numbers and I compared broadband growth with broadband from, say, Charter, I saw a Charter that doesn't have a box like Flex that they're giving away with broadband. They're growing as well, if not faster, than Comcast is. So I really didn't see any big benefit to doing it, certainly not from the perspective of helping broadband grow. But maybe there's a broader goal here when you roll in Peacock, because it really does seem to help with that service, or at least we think it seems to help with that service. So maybe that's a good opportunity for us to sort of switch here and talk about what's going on with Peacock.
Yeah, so they announced that Peacock is now up to 33 million signups. Again, no breakout on how many of those signups are at the premium, the paying tier $4.99 or with ads, or the $9.99 tier without ads versus just being free, but you know, they've certainly been public about talking about how The Office, which launched on January 1st, has helped to grow the Peacock base. And the 33 million, I think, compares to the last number that they released, which was 26 million around the first week of December, December 8th or 9th. So they're up about 7 million in that probably 7 week period, 6 or 7 week period, give or take. But they're also, I think, well ahead of what they had forecasted. I believe that they had said 30 to 35 million signups by 2024. So it's not quite the complete blowout that the Disney Plus numbers were, but they're still well ahead of forecast. And it would be interesting if they, we'll talk in a moment about the Peacock content strategy, which I think is pretty compelling. But it would be great to find out one of these days how many people are actually paying. And just back on the Flex topic, I can say that for myself personally, that I'm a Comcast broadband subscriber. I have the Flex device, no extra charge. And then the bonus on top of that is that I get Peacock Premium for no extra charge as well. So it's a real, it's a real bonus situation for being a broadband subscriber.
Yeah. And there really isn't a lot of information kicking around out there about that, Will. What I want to do is actually, we do have a little bit of feedback, and particularly a little bit of feedback on how well Comcast and Peacock did when The Office moved over to that service. So I'm going to quote here a little bit from a company called Real Good. Now, I just want to preface this by saying that Real Good's not, the data you're going to hear now is not, I don't think it's a good solid reference for the whole market. But I think it is a good indicator of what's going in the market. And here's why. So Real Good is a service that people can sign up for, and they can, it helps them find stuff across all of their streaming services. So they sign up. So it's like a streaming service guide. You sign up, you give Real Good your credentials for all of the services that you use. Then you can just go there, search for stuff, and Real Good will launch that service with that show playing. So that's how it works. They've got about 2 million people using this platform. So I would say that this is sort of a core streaming audience. So anyway, that's the context for this data. But it really does indicate pretty clearly how well The Office did, I think, in helping Peacock grow, particularly grow so vigorously in the last month. So what Real Good said, they were looking at a share of streams of Office episodes. And it was a little bit below 3% at the end of its reign on Netflix. And it actually popped up from people were definitely watching more of it, because it had been something at around about 1% before that. But in the last 2 weeks of December, it popped up to 3%. Well, when it hit January 1st and it came out on Peacock, it shot up to about 9% of streams. And in the following week, it settled back down to 3%. So certainly for Real Good's users, a lot of them followed it over from Netflix to Peacock. Now, what they did say was the majority of those viewers were for free and not for the premium. But that what they did say was that they saw a big increase. They saw a 17% increase in Real Good customers signing up their Peacock free credentials, and about a 5% increase of Peacocks, of people signing up with their Peacock premium credentials. So it does, certainly from the Real Good data, Will, it gives us a pretty good idea that it had a really beneficial effect, affecting much more on the free content rather than the premium subscription side of things. But boy, it certainly seems to have had a sizable impact on both sides.
Yeah, and you have to believe that the free is, with respect to how The Office is being deployed, that the free is going to be a really nice feeder into premium, because only the first two seasons are available on free. So as a viewer, once you've watch those, once you've burned through those and you're hungry for more, you go right up to the premium service. And I think that's a smart strategy by Peacock. I think they're balancing things nicely. And again, we've seen some, I think, nice moves on the content side from Peacock. They also announced earlier this week the deal with WWE Network, that where they're basically going to absorb that into Peacock. And for those subscribers that were previously on WWE Network paying $10 a month, they now will be paying $5 a month. So just getting a 50% rate reduction, and they get all the content that's available on Peacock. So that seems like a smart deal, broadening out the content base for Peacock. They also have the deal for Bring Modern Family, which is a quirky one because Modern Family is also going to be available on Hulu. So they're sharing the rights to those 11 seasons. And then there's also sports. And I know you wanted to talk about the move that NBC just made to close NBCSN as well.
Yeah. And I just want to say a little bit about that, about the WWE Network. And this, I had to read the press release like two or three times, Will, because it wasn't exactly clear to me if the pay-per-view live events were included. But it certainly seemed to imply that. And I was very surprised, because those pay-per-view events are usually $40 or $50. They're not cheap. They're, you know, well, maybe not 40, but they're certainly in the $30 to $40 range for those pay-per-view live events. So if that's true, this is a great deal for WWE fans, and that should bring a lot of them across. I've got a feeling that most of them will migrate, and particularly as I think they're actually going to close out the WWE's own service and you know, really push people over. But that represents a great deal. The only thing I will say is they were very careful to say it's $4.99 a month, and that includes a $5 discount from the normal price. So I have a feeling that that discounted price will have a very limited lifespan. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. Now, on the sports side of things, on the other sports side of things, NBCU announced that they're going to close the sports channel NBCSN. I think they're going to shut it down at the end of this year. And they've got a whole bunch of really significant sports franchises that are covered by that platform. For example, they have NHL, NASCAR, and Premier League. All of those are carried on NBCSN. And what NBCU has said is that a lot of those games and events are going to move to USA Network, which they say is becoming much more like some sort of broadcast, a general broadcaster channel, very much in the way that NBC is itself. But the chances are that some of that content will be migrating to Peacock Premium. And I was particularly interested in Premier League because actually, NBC Sports Network, they usually broadcast 5 or 6 games every weekend live for pay TV subscribers who have that network. And I have a feeling that there may not be room for all of that with all of the other stuff that's going on USA. And I think that maybe our friends at Comcast are going to use this to nudge a lot more people who want Premier League to get Peacock Premium. Because there'll be far fewer games actually available for on standard broadcast. So that could be a big boon. The one thing that is open is that there's a whole bunch of other properties that they have licensed to that are minor sports, like Tour de France, National Dog Show, and some of those other things. And it's not clear what's going to happen to those. I think the piece I was reading was speculating that NBC might sell those off to other people. So we'll have to see. But sports are obviously becoming a very big part of Peacock for NBC, and it's going to be a key way that they're going to recruit people to this platform. And it's good to see some nice competition for ESPN Plus.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's they're going to use those sports very strategically to try to drive people up into the Peacock Premium tier. And I think we're, you know, starting to see that strategy emerge for Peacock, how they're sort of balancing giving a little bit available on the free tier and then trying to upsell people to premium. But again, you know, the question is for people like myself who already have Comcast, either broadband or the X1 service, or the Xfinity service, you get the Peacock Premium for no extra charge. So they're not fully monetizing it. It's being used more as a value add or a churn reducer for existing subscribers. I find myself wondering how long that deal is going to last, or whether at some point they're going to start charging an incremental charge that's going to show up for Peacock Premium for existing subscribers.
Right, right. I think probably you're right, Will. I think what's in store for you and other Comcast subscribers is at some point you'll end up getting the free version for free like everybody else, but you'll have to pay for the premium version like everybody else.
Right. We'll get grandfathered for some period of time, and then that'll be it.
Yeah, I suspect that's what's going to happen. And I got to tell you, I think that that's probably the right thing to do and the smart thing to do, because the strategy that they've put together, Will, I think is a pretty strong one. And it's certainly, you know, with all of the stuff that's coming in there, the sports, and let's not forget, they'll get a huge shot in the arm if the Olympics happens in the middle of this year. And that's a big if. We're still not sure that that's going to happen. If that happens, that will give it also another really big boost. There's always that possibility that the Olympics will not happen, and if it doesn't happen this year, it will probably be cancelled, I think. So they could lose
that. Let's hope for the best. Let's hope for the best. I think. But I think we're about out of time, Colin. So we've covered a lot of ground on Comcast, NBC, and Peacock this week. And I hear you. I mean, with 33 million signups now, Peacock has zoomed into the upper ranks of the streaming services within the past 6 months pretty quickly.
They sure have. And Will, I got to tell you, if they reduce the number of games on Peacock, NBC Sports Network when it migrates to USA for Premier League, it's a must-have for me, and I've got a feeling that it will be the same for the NHL and NASCAR folks as well. If some of the events now aren't covered, that they're going to need to jump to Peacock Premium as well, and hopefully they'll be able to watch everything they want there.
All right, Colin, we'll leave it at that for today. So good chatting as always.
And you will.
And thanks to our listeners for joining us on this week's Video News End Screen Media podcast. And we will see you all again next week.